The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Welcome into the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I am clearly not Max Kellerman. My name is Shea Cornett. Jordan Cornett, my husband's here with me. You can catch us on Sundays on game day on ESPN Radio. If you can't tell by our last names, we are married.
It's true. Happily.
We live happily.
And together forever.
And we'll see how the
Despite
next 2 hours
together.
Go. Yeah, right. We'll talk again after the next 2 hours. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. And before we get into what's going on in the sports world, we realize there's a lot going on in the
world.
Actual world.
Yeah.
And I know we were up really late last night, didn't get a lot of sleep. I think I turned the television off at 3:30 in the morning.
You said we could keep it on all night to follow.
I did. That's usually...
That was not true. Look, it's going to take a while. Patience is the key here with this. And as everybody navigates through this whole thing, we appreciate you coming over and listening to us right now. And we're going to dive into sports, a little bit of an escape here, understanding what's going on in the world, but also understanding we might not have solutions for that. I know I don't, but the country won't for a little while here. So we're going to dive into a whole lot of sports news going on, Shay.
Yep.
I'm going to do what I do every day, follow your Roger coattails here, and let's get going.
I like that. That's a good way to start.
But
yeah,
promise me this. Okay. You're not going to act brand new on the show here. On Sundays, we keep it real. I know it's a different platform here. It's the great Max Kellerman Show. We're still going to be who we are,
yeah,
right? Don't get your reporter voice going.
All right.
And doing all that stuff.
Don't start bossing me around.
Just saying. Don't act brand new for the crew.
Okay,
here.
I won't.
It's a new audience.
But we do appreciate you being with us. I know this is probably a little bit of an escape for everyone,
yeah,
and we're happy you chose to spend the time with us. So the Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're going to talk about what's going on with the Packers. Did Aaron Rodgers get failed again? We'll discuss that in a little bit. And also, how will Antonio Brown now fit in with the Bucks as he is now at practice for the first time today? Be a part of the Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call in line 1-888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football is back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. A little bit of breaking news, Jordan, just a couple hours ago. The 49ers have shut down their facility according to a COVID-19 positive test. That's according to Adam Schefter. Wide receiver Kendrick Bourne tested positive for COVID-19. They had to close their facility today, which is not great timing considering the Green Bay Packers are supposed to come to town tonight and they're supposed to play tomorrow, a little Thursday night football action. As of now, we are proceeding with as if the game is going to be played as it's supposed to be played. But of course, when these things happen and you do have a positive test, there's contract tracing that I know is going on now, and we'll see where it goes from here. But I saw this news, and of course, it's very unfortunate for Kendrick Bourne, but I thought to myself, man, the 49ers can't catch a break.
Has there been they've caught something. Has there been a situation where a team with that kind of talent, that kind of expectation, decimated like this? I mean, look, they're 4-4 in what's arguably the toughest division, no question out there in the NFC West. They're still competitive, but I can't think of a team that comes to mind that's been in this position where – and we'll talk to Damian Woody later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Just in a couple minutes here, about 7 minutes away. I don't know a team that's ever been decimated by injury, illness, all this attrition off the field, and yet still going out there and being competitive. They don't even know who their quarterback is going to be for the future. And Jimmy G, we don't know how long he's going to be out, but he may not be a 49er.
Going forward. I know there's a lot to make of what is going on with the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, as Jordan just alluded to. Then you have George Kittle, who is out for the next several weeks. It has just been one injury after the other with the 49ers, and it's just a mess. And I feel for Kyle Shanahan. I mean, this is a team that appeared in the Super Bowl last year, and here we are saying they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be next year. Maybe they do. We don't. But unfortunate for them that they will definitely be without if the Packers and the 49ers do play on Thursday night.
Be curious to see how they handle that one. If the game moves forward. I mean, now that the Niners are out with essentially no wideouts, with Kittle out in that one, Samuel out in that one, and now Bourne out in that one, and then the Green Bay Packers come into that game with a decimated running game, with them ravaged with injury on that front. So it's going to be another wacky Thursday night football game. It's to be expected. But I think also now the conversation shifting past that, Shay, goes to the trade deadline, what came and went, and what the Packers did not do in that time, and how that fared for a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who really surprised by that.
Yeah, it's funny we're talking about the 49ers. That was the breaking news, and the team they're going to play is the Green Bay Packers. And the trade deadline came and went yesterday. I know we all were probably focused on a lot of other things. So if you weren't focused on the NFL, yeah, the Green Bay Packers made no moves. There were rumors of them possibly going out and getting Will Fuller from the Houston Texans. Obviously, that never happened. And honestly, the more I read about that, as being someone from Chicago, I've grown up watching the NFC North. I didn't think that was going to happen. It's not the Green Bay way. But it just seems like during the same kind of conversation with the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers needs help. Aaron Rodgers needs help in order to get over the next.
Well, this is the Green Bay philosophy, you know, draft, develop guys, not go out and get the quick fix to win now. And I get it. That has allowed your franchise there in Green Bay and your fan base to consistently be intrigued year in and year out because you're competitive, because you're right there in the spot. And that is the role of front offices, to ensure that we're not going to be good right now. We're going to continue to be good throughout. We're always looking ahead, and that's great. But Matt LaFleur is in a position with arguably the most talented quarterback of this generation, and you're in a position to win right now. And to me, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you say, hey, look, you went and got Jordan Love in this draft when you knew the clock was ticking on me and what we could do here when we were on the doorstep of the Super Bowl last season. That's fine. I've gone out here, and I've still engineered one of the best offenses in the NFL. And now you're at the crossroads again to get better, and you balk at going to get a guy like Will Fuller. I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, what else can I do? And bigger than that, Shay, I look at this Green Bay team and say, Aaron Rodgers, you got to go out there and be great with the receivers that you have, leading with Adams and hoping the other guys can step up. And Alan Lazard coming back is big. But this is a Green Bay team that is vulnerable defensively. Defense can't stop a nosebleed, especially in the run game.
Say it how you normally say it.
Bart Scott, can't stop, defense can't stop a nosebleed.
That's the way you
know. Tom Jackson, Keyshawn, I'll never stop loving that. Bart Scott, that was great.
That's the way you're supposed to say it.
But to me, you look at this and say, Green Bay didn't want to do the necessary things to ride this thing out because they wanted to stick to their philosophy. And for Aaron Rodgers is always compared to whom? Tom Brady. Tom Brady's even said Aaron Rodgers is more talented than he himself, Tom Brady. Look at the situation that Tom Brady's in there in Tampa Bay. In that same NFC, a team that Aaron Rodgers may have to go through to get to the Super Bowl, look what Aaron Rodgers has. Look what Tom Brady has. That is probably the biggest issue with Aaron Rodgers sitting there saying, look what I'm doing here. We could have got better on the offensive side. Give me another target. Heck, we could have gotten Geno Atkins maybe out of my Cincinnati Bengals and brought him in here. Didn't do that either. But there's got to be some envy for a guy like Aaron Rodgers that looks at Tom Brady and says, he just always gets propped up. He's the best coach in the league. Look, it's not taking away from Tom's greatness, Shay. My point is this. It feels to me like he got done wrong here, and now he has to be great to mask the lack of targets and the issues on that defense.
Okay, so first of all, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm going to agree with you and disagree with you. In terms of what the Packers did at the trade deadline, not surprising, Matt LaFleur, the head coach for the Packers, said he didn't even know if anything ever got that serious when it came to trading for Will Fuller.
But it should have.
I'll also say I'm kind of sick of having the conversation about offensive skill players that Aaron Rodgers needed, because this goes all the way back to the draft, as you mentioned. I will also say this about skill players in the NFL. It's kind of like money. You can never have enough of it.
Oh, gosh. It's who I'm married to, Raj. Raj, you hear that? This is who I'm married to here. You can't have enough money. It's an uphill battle for me from Joe.
No one's going to turn it down.
Well, honey, we don't have enough. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm not quite there yet.
I'm just pointing it out. You can never have enough. So would Aaron Rodgers scoff at the fact if they went and got a Will Fuller? No. Would he be happy with help around him? I'm sure. The bigger issue, as you touched on, is the defense. If you watched any of the game against the Vikings for the Packers,
Dalvin Cook still scoring touchdowns.
Okay, ran all over him. Not even worse than that. This team desperately needs a linebacker, a very good one. They were missing tackles left and right. I mean, it was like whiffs. Awful. They need to learn how to tackle, and they need help with a linebacker. And speaking of that, when you think about what happened with the trade deadline, the Steelers picked up Avery Williamson, okay, a linebacker from the Jets, for a 2022 fifth round pick. Yeah. Not even next year.
Yeah.
2022. You don't think he could have helped out the Packers, maybe?
I mean, Desmond King, and that's not what's needed there, but you go out in the Titans and that secondary and get him for a sixth rounder. This guy was an all pro in 2018. So there's ways to get creative. There's ways to make moves. I ultimately go back and I wonder what the holdup potentially with the Packers and Texans may have been. And now you're hearing that it was a second rounder for Will Fuller. I would have done that for the opportunity to win now. Make your strength stronger. But it also goes to the Texans, if it was more than that, that is a high price, and say the Texans are in a position where they're trying to move Will Fuller, but they're asking for maybe too high of a price because Bill O'Brien, who you gave all that power to, undervalued DeAndre Hopkins, let him walk away, which was costly when you have a franchise quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and now you're in the position of maybe overpricing a guy, overvaluing a guy in Will Fuller that quite simply nobody was going to take on. So I'm happy for Deshaun Watson that he at least has one guy to throw the football to. But I look at the Texans and say, where are you going? You found what is the most important critical piece in the NFL. You found your quarterback. You've got Deshaun Watson. What are you doing to make this guy a guy who can evolve and be successful in this league? And wow, the Texans just, you're scratching your head time and time again. And it all starts with the decision they made with Bill O'Brien, which I think goes to that bigger conversation. Do you give a coach the ability to also be the front office guy that makes the decisions? Sure, if it's the right one, Bill O'Brien was not.
No, he was not. And we went all over the place there, but maybe Damian Woody can help us break us down. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
The Cowboys will be without quarterback Andy Dalton for another week, but it's not because of the concussion he sustained 2 weeks ago. Rather, Dalton's been placed on the reserve COVID list.
This is really an Andy Dalton health story, not, oh my God, what are the Cowboys going to do?
All right, Damian Woody joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. D-Wood, thanks so much for being with us this morning. I'm sure you just heard us going back and forth on the Packers. That also led into the Texans, obviously, because of the Will Fuller talk. And I know you have been on every airway today talking about how the Packers missed out during this trade deadline. What do you make of the Packers and where they stand? To me, it's not a Will Fuller and a receivers issue. It's a defensive problem for the Packers. Do you think they missed a big opportunity here over the last couple of days?
No, I would agree with your assessment. I mean, anyone that watched the Packers-Vikings game, they're still having nightmares about Dalvin Cook just thrashing the Green Bay Packers defense. So, yes, it's bigger than wide receiver. I think my overall point was just feeling like the Green Bay Packers as the organization haven't maximized the career that Aaron Rodgers has put together, considering the fact that, you know, he only has one Super Bowl. I mean, we're talking about a guy in Aaron Rodgers who is arguably, you know, the greatest, as far as talent, the most talented quarterback of this generation. So you just want to see him get as many weapons as possible on the back nine of his career. Now, we know that, you know, with the Houston Texans, they should be sellers because they don't have many assets moving forward, and Will Fuller seemed like a pretty good fit, you know, beside Davante Adams. But again, Green Bay is the type of team that they want to draft and develop. They've always had that MO. They want to just draft young guys and develop them. And who can argue with their history? They've done a tremendous job with that. I just want to see Aaron Rodgers get as many pieces as possible to maximize to try to win a Super Bowl.
Damian, I couldn't agree with you more, and that probably hurts my wife here, who's a big Chicago Bears fan.
It's all right. I've already come to accept it. It is what it is.
And I'm a Bengals guy, so I'm just happy to have Joe Burrow and see what he's doing. But stay in there in that NFC North. Stay in there with those Packers. And the fact that they are 5-2, maybe they miss at this deadline. Maybe they didn't do enough to prop up further and Aaron Rodgers to propel them on a Super Bowl run here to get where they couldn't a year ago. But how real of a threat are they still as a contender? Because, again, they're 5-2 in a very tough division.
Well, yeah, listen, I think they're a class of the NFC North. I think everyone would probably agree that they'll win that division. And when you take a macro look at the NFC as a whole, there's not one team that's running away with the conference. I mean, you have some people who, you know, like myself, I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they're the most well-rounded team in the division. There are some people who like the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson, let Russ cook, and his MVP journey so far this year. You know, some people are going to like New Orleans down the stretch. So, listen, if you're Green Bay, you're sitting at 5-2. You know, the world is not caving in. Yes, there was a bad loss to the Minnesota Vikings, but there's not one team in that conference that would scare Green Bay at all.
That hurts.
That's just another dagger. Yeah. And the thing is, Damian knew you're the Bears fan and still went there.
He still
with
did it. I know. I was like not sure how to react to that. Just a little dagger.
Hey, listen, when it comes to your Bears, I don't have any faith in either quarterback, whether it's Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky.
No,
so
I feel you.
That's going to be the biggest impediment to them advancing forward.
Damian, take up residence in Chicago, man. You sound like a Chicagoan. I mean, that fits.
Thank you for that, Damian. Okay, we will move on. By the way, Damian Woody is joining us right now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Okay, so Damian, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. And trust me, I am sick of talking about the Dallas Cowboys, but Jerry Jones is at a point where he doesn't want to tank, and I understand that, and I don't know many head coaches or owners that would come out and say, yeah, let's tank. That sounds like a fun idea.
I want to try.
However, where are the Cowboys at? Because realistically, they're kind of still in the hunt, being in the bad division that they're in, but yet again, you have quarterbacks that are starting this weekend that a lot of people have never heard of. I mean, I don't even know what to make of the Cowboys anymore.
Well, listen, the Cowboys don't have to. They don't have to try to tank. They are tanking just by going out there and suiting up and playing. The Cowboys have a litany of issues going on. Number one, I think first of all, I think we see the value that Dak Prescott brought to the Dallas Cowboys. Without Dak Prescott, their offense has just been atrocious. When Dak Prescott was playing, they were in shootouts every week. So that just shows you the value that he brought not only on the field but off the field to that organization. We know the struggles that the Cowboys have had defensively. And then, you know, even to the coaching staff, there's a lot of questions about whether Mike McCarthy is the guy that can lead the Cowboys to places that Jason Garrett couldn't. But I think when you look at the Cowboys overall, their identity has always been, at least in the past few years, their offensive line. You know, their offensive line was a staple. It helped their defense as far as controlling the ball, the time of possession. And when you look at the Dallas Cowboys offensive line now, Tyron Smith out for the year. Travis Frederick, mm-hmm. their all-pro center, he retired in the offseason. Leo Collins, he's out for the year with the injury. Those are critical injuries that are showing up right now for the Dallas Cowboys. So if you look at everything in its totality, you might have to start stripping this roster down because the identity of your team no longer exists.
Damian, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, the rich just keep getting richer. It's funny, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers out there in Green Bay and what they failed to do for him at the trade deadline. And now you take, in your words, I heard driving in today and couldn't agree more. People forget, in 2018, Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in the National Football League. I know my wife and I know a lot of people, including myself, have feelings about him off the field, and that's fair. But on the field, when he's playing, there's no argument what he brings. What does that do to this Buccaneers team? Because right now my power rankings, I have them at the upper tier. Does this propel them, if he comes out there and shows out, does this propel them to the top of the power rankings and arguably the best team in the NFL?
Oh, please, the best team in the NFL.
Oh, listen. I think with the addition, I'm not trying to get in the middle of your husband and wife squabbles or anything.
No,
like
please
that.
Get in the middle. This is what people do all the time. We love it.
I know. I understand. I get it. But I will say, I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the most well-rounded team in the NFC. And now, when you bring a guy like Antonio Brown, and listen, we can have discussions about all the off-field stuff, but just speaking purely on-field and what he brings to the table. I mean, listen, this guy was almost unguardable the last time we saw him play meaningful mm-hmm. football. This is a guy that he can line up in the slot. He can line up outside the numbers. He was beating double teams. And we know his affinity for Tom Brady. Reason why he chose Tampa Bay. Remember that. A lot of people thought that Tampa Bay was his only option. It wasn't his only option. Russell Wilson wanted him in Seattle, but he chose to reunite with Tom Brady because he knew how special this Tampa Bay team could be. So when you add him to, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, as a defensive coordinator, who are you gonna stop? Who are you gonna double team? That's a lot of people that's coming at you.
I mean, Damian, AB living with Tom Brady, roommates right now. I'm thinking about back to your playing days, you as an offensive lineman, if you brought in another a tackle or guard on a team, somebody you needed to build some chemistry with, would you let them live in the crib with you and your family?
Man, the wife is shooting that down, man.
What?
I'm telling you that right now. You're not going to invade my personal space. She's not having that. Plus, who wants to be hanging around with, you know, seven kids? You know, my wife and I, we have seven kids. Who wants to be around all that noise?
We've seen the crib, Damian.
I just don't see that.
We've seen your crib on TV. I think a lot of people would say, seven kids? I'm so cool. I want to be in this castle. I think they'd still be okay with that.
He makes a good point. All right, Damian Woody, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
We'll catch you soon. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
No way you're having it. You don't let half of my friends in the house.
Why would you do that?
To stay for multiple days? Yeah. Now let's be honest. Just because they're watching doesn't mean they're listening that you can't be honest. No way. And an AB type? Ooh, no shot.
See, you have started out hot today, and that's not true. You know how many of your degenerate friends I have let stay in our crib?
Degenerate. Raj, degenerate, she calls him.
You chill out.
Now, let me say a word about one of your friends.
Yeah, don't you ever. Don't you ever.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Welcome to the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN.
Play.
You always make fun of how I say that. Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett here hanging out with you. Thanks for being with us today. We realize there's a lot going on in the world, so we're happy you took some time out of your day to chill with us.
An escape of sorts.
Yeah.
A little sports escape.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
Are the Jets thinking about giving up on Sam Darnold? We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but we would be remiss if we didn't get into Clemson.
Is it remiss?
Clemson and Notre Dame.
I think it's
Dame.
Just remiss.
Really?
Right? It's not past tense. I think it's just remiss.
Yeah. I'd be remiss.
You'd be remiss.
Yeah, I don't know. Starting next Monday, you can stream the Max Kellerman Show daily on ESPN Plus. With ESPN Plus, you can stream the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts, hashtag Greeny, and Shanae and Golic Jr., and you can get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, SiriusXM, and the ESPN app. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. 1-888-729-3776. Again, Shea Cornett, Jordan Cornett. We can't tell by our last name. We are married.
We are married.
And I know.
I guess we could be siblings. That'd be really weird and hard to explain.
That would. We don't quite look like siblings either. I like that. So, do you want to sing the song? You do it every time I mention your name. This isn't annoying at all in my house.
It's all week long, and I'm shocked that we've gotten this long into the show, having not mentioned any Notre Dame alum that are in the NFL, which are clearly making an impact across the league.
Why would we do that?
I don't know. Usually like a Chase Claypool pops up
somewhere. Why would we bring up Chase Claypool randomly?
Ronnie Stanley made news with a big contract, then getting hurt. I haven't had a chance to get off the fight song in the show. I appreciate that. And for those wondering why are they talking college football on the Max Kellerman Show, something they don't usually do, it's because I serve as a host at the Huddle for the ACC Network on Saturdays. Check out our pregame show, 10 a.m. to noon.
Ooh.
We're also covering the games throughout the day. And the biggest game of the college football season to this point is upon us.
It is. So
number one Clemson in God's country. Against number four Notre Dame. I know Mike Golic Jr. is roaming around here somewhere.
Okay, and in case
I don't know why we don't just get my boy in here to jump in on a segment, but go ahead.
Will you settle down?
I'm excited.
In case you don't know, Jordan is a Notre Dame alum. In case you can't tell.
And they tell you two or three times in the first couple sentences.
And he's also currently still Notre Dame's all-time leading shot blocker. Look what I'm doing
for you. Talk to him.
Give me a pound up top.
If you want to win a contest, random information. That one will get you every time.
Okay, but the big news this week as Clemson travels to South Bend to take on Notre Dame is the fact that Trevor Lawrence will not be playing quarterback.
Who's a backup for Clemson, Shea?
DJ Uiagalelei.
Close. You said it before the lights came on, and you got it wrong. You got it right before.
I could have
gone many ways.
DJ Uiagalelei.
6'4", 250 pounds, 5-star, number one pocket passer in his class. Stepped up in there, and that offense didn't skip a beat versus Boston College last week, getting the home win.
They started out a little slow against Boston College.
Then they turned it up. He had a great game.
But Trevor Lawrence will be on the sideline with his teammates because he did clear COVID-19 protocols. In case you don't know, he tested positive prior to the Boston College game last week. Because of the regulations that are in college football, he has to go through some cardiovascular testing. So he will travel with the team and be on the sideline. Here's Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney on what it means to have him on the sideline.
Well, just, yeah, I mean, he's an incredibly knowledgeable guy, and, you know, he's been there. So I just think, you know, he'll be able to bring a good, you know, presence, you know, to DJ, and he's got a great mind. He's got great eyes. So he's going to be Coach Lawrence, and Skalski's going to be with us as well. So we'll have Coach Lawrence and Coach Skalski this week. So I told him, I'm not one going to take them unless they were going to be productive coaches for us. So that's going to be, that'll be their roles this week, and they'll both take a lot of pride in that.
Let's add something else to Trevor Lawrence's resume. Now he's also going to play coach.
Yeah,
this
but
weekend.
Here's the thing. In quarterbacks, Shay, they always get the headlines. Just like with us, when we walk into a room, everybody gravitates towards you.
Oh,
you're way more charismatic. You're smarter.
Oh, keep going.
Infinitely better looking.
Thank
I could go down
you.
The list. I've definitely outkicked my coverage. Anybody listening or watching knows that. Anybody from Chicago, where we got our start, knows that as well. Quarterbacks get all the headlines, but they shouldn't in this one.
Okay.
You heard the name James Skalski mentioned by Dabo, and a lot of casual football fans are probably saying, who's James Skalski? He's the quarterback of the Clemson defense. He's their starting linebacker, and his absence in the last few games has been the telltale sign towards why I believe Notre Dame will win this football game. I'm not homering this.
Are you?
Go back a couple weeks, Shay, to Clemson hosting Syracuse, a one-win Syracuse team. One of the worst Power 5 teams going right now. It's just where they are at. That game got towards the end of the third quarter. It was a one-possession game. Syracuse on the road at Clemson was playing that one close. It had nothing to do with the backup quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, playing because he played beautifully. That offense didn't skip a beat. It was the defense and the mistakes that started to pile up that allowed an inept Syracuse offense to stay within that one. Clemson ultimately blew them out, but it took a fourth quarter. Fast forward to the next week. Now a week prior to where we are today, hosting Boston College, similar issues as Boston College got out early in that one because James Skalski, quarterback of the defense, was not there. That one got figured out late fourth quarter. Notre Dame, infinitely better than Syracuse, who took them to a third quarter. Notre Dame, in my opinion, a lot better than Boston College, who took them down the stretch. Notre Dame is hosting in this one. Notre Dame has a championship defense. Ian Book is starting to figure it out. Notre Dame has one of the best offensive lines in college football. Hold on. Run game that can get it going. I think time's going to run out with Clemson needing a comeback. And even if Trevor Lawrence was the starting quarterback for Clemson, Notre Dame wins this one 28-24. Let's go!
Oh, what's happening here? If Max is watching, he's like, my show's gone off the rails. My show is gone off the rails.
I think Mike Golic Jr. just ripped his shirt off across the hall.
This is too much.
And he's going streaking through the quad.
Kill the horns.
I just want to let you guys know, you guys have set a Max Kellerman record for the longest time spent talking about college football.
Yes.
I'm just saying, it is a record. So congratulations, you have set a record.
Do you normally play these kind of pageantry?
I don't even know what this is.
Raj,
I don't know what this is. What is this?
Raj, how does it feel?
Oh, please.
Never again? Is this a never again?
Oh, no. Hey, I'm fine. You guys got me into it. I'm listening. Now you got me wanting to see the game. You guys talked me into it.
All right.
So,
look, it's going to be a game. I promise I'm not homering this one. It's been of intrigue to watch Brian Kelly and all his post games talk about Clemson. It's on his mind. They understand what the Notre Dame brand has failed to do since 1993, beat a top five team, win that premier game. This is a huge one for Brian Kelly. It's a huge one for Notre Dame, and it's gettable.
I'm so sick of saying this, Jordan. And while I hear you and you make a very good argument,
why
and those
ride
of you,
with me?
I'm going to, but I have to play devil's advocate. And before you say it, I'm a very little
devil
person.
Devil doesn't need an advocate.
And I always say the devil doesn't need an advocate, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Indiana football won last week, and I was right there rooting for you. Although you've never talked about Indiana football as an alum.
Oh.
You love the basketball, but then you love the football when they beat Penn State. I rode with you. Ride with me.
First of all, you didn't just ride with me. You just completely threw me off the bus, under the bus, to the side of the bus, all over the bus.
That's a crime.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Hey, Raj, I know this is your guy's show. I know we're filling in for Max Kellerman, but sometimes a guy, when he's overmatched, needs to call in some reinforcements. Can I bring Gojo in? Mike Golic Jr.,
no.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, listen, yes! I'm happy to help out in this situation right here. And Shay, I'm a little disappointed right now, I'm not going to lie. You've been nothing but fantastic ever since I've known you. And now all of a sudden we're in this situation where Jordan and I are just asking for a little bit of help. We're nervous. This is a tough week for us. We're a little bit ahead of ourselves. I keep talking myself into this upset now, and your husband's helped me out with that. So, Shay, we need you to come in here and just have our backs right now. We care about you. We need you to care about us.
Okay.
Not nervous about the election, just about Clemson and Notre Dame.
Yeah, strictly about football this week. I don't even know what's going on everywhere. Oh, John King in that touchscreen, though. My God.
Who let you in here?
Goat work.
I mean, goat stuff right there. That guy's putting on a master's class in that touchscreen right now. It's amazing.
The envy of every analyst across the country to watch John King on a touchscreen.
It's true. Okay, can I ask a question while you're both here and you're both homering away at your Notre Dame Fighting Irish? Really quick, please. I understand that you believe in your team and you think this
it's
is the
team.
Year.
You're
and
married
you keep...
to me. We're in this together. Okay.
Our team, Shay. You're in this.
Yes. Okay, fine. I'm invested. I feel it. However, I don't care who plays quarterback, and I understand your argument about making comparisons to the teams Clemson have played versus the teams Notre Dame have
played
and how close these teams have been. However, haven't you seen this, forget Notre Dame, with Clemson a million times? They've played in the ACC much longer than Notre Dame has. And yet still, the level of competition, we argue every year, is not the same till they get to the college football playoff and they go out and they blow out teams and they beat teams like Alabama that seem to be unstoppable, that many think sometimes could compete with the Jets. So why do you think this year is going to be any different where they're not going to show up and play to the level of competition of your Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
This is my life, Gojo. This is when I say, hey, honey, can I go on this golf trip with the guys, pre-COVID, of course? Can I do this? And she just shoots it down. I get up here and I talk about Notre Dame and I get all hyped up.
I've never done that.
And she shoots it down.
I've never done that.
She shoots it down.
It is amazing. You just got dunked on like chest to chest. Like it was straight up
bodied.
There, just looked you in the eye.
Bodied.
And snatched your soul on that one here. Shay, I mean, there's plenty of reasons to believe why we can make this happen and why we can make this work. Our team speed on defense has never been like where it's at now. So all of a sudden you're at a level where compete. Freshman quarterback comes in, and while he's super talented, still a freshman. So there's some things you can take advantage of in all of this that I feel like, again, you talk about Clemson walking through the ACC most every year. Exactly. They're not used to having to play a tough game like this in the middle of their conference season until we popped up in this one all of a sudden. So all I'm saying is we're a little ahead of schedule. We might be a little ahead of schedule for Clemson. This is right on time for Notre Dame. Let's go.
Okay.
Walk off.
If that doesn't fire you up for Saturday, I don't know what will. Michael Jr., thank you.
It will never be the same again.
It will never be the
same.
He's
pissed somewhere listening to all this college football.
Definitely pissed off. Michael Jr., thank you. Shay Cornett, Jordan Cornett here with you. Jordan, I have never once told you couldn't go on a golf trip. You take that back right now or else.
Cool. So Scottsdale's on in a couple months?
If you want to go and you want to fly
Cut
in COVID.
Tape. Cut
in
the
COVID.
Tape. No, see, I said post-COVID. So yeah, you're probably safe for the next few months, unfortunately.
Probably safe.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
All right, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN. Shay Cornett, Jordan Cornett here hanging out, filling in for Max Kellerman today. You can reach us at 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's 1-888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive, celebrating 8 years of donating cars to veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogressive.com.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, guys. Welcome to the show, and happy birthday to P. Diddy and Matthew McConaughey. They both turned 51 today. Now, this isn't a no-doubt question, but the question is, whose career would you rather have?
Who would I rather have? Ooh. P. Diddy or Matthew McConaughey? Now, Matthew McConaughey has some great rom-coms out there that I love
much. What's his best rom-com, though?
I love How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. However, I would take P. Diddy. For one, I loved Making the Band, I think it was called.
Yeah.
I loved Danity Kane. How you gonna fix it?
That's where this is going.
Loved it. So give me P. Diddy all day.
That's where we take Danity Kane pushes Diddy over the threshold here.
For me, it does. It was my college special. I love it.
Look, McConaughey's won an Oscar. Maybe multiples. Diddy, though, has changed his name multiple times, and it stuck every time until he said, "Now I'm going a different route." Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy. He's done it all. He's also had very, very impressive people standing alongside him in his lifetime.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
And I go to J-Lo. You go to Danny Kennedy. I go to J-Lo.
Okay.
No Way Out was incredible. I'm going P. Diddy.
All right. Let's try to get a couple here. Joe Douglas, Jets GM. Do you believe him when he says Sam Darnold is his QB of the future?
No.
Nah, son.
Definitely not. I do not believe him. I think they need to ride this wave of winless games for the remainder of the season.
See where it takes them.
And I think Sam Darnold winds up being a backup somewhere in the league.
They're hoping for Trevor Lawrence. I got to say that for right now until the tide turns their way for a better option.
Okay, this one's tailor-made for you, too. You're good with Golden Tate's wife going off on the Giants for not throwing him the ball enough.
Yeah, she's got her man's back. I love this.
How about a no doubt? No doubt. And I'm going to tell you why no doubt. All you want is your partner to ride with you in life, right? Yep. Right?
I know where this is going.
No, you want them to back you up. I agree. Definitely no doubt. Shout out to Golden Tate's wife.
Oh, I thought you for sure you were bringing up Notre Dame. I ride with you, babe. Don't worry. Coming up next, Antonio Brown. Is he going to fit with the Bucks? We'll discuss.